The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Understand how healing works? By understanding the process, we can not only heal ourselves, but understand why. Welcome to the Healing Power Hour with host Suzanne Hill. In our program, we will show you the healing modalities and approaches that you can use to heal yourself, no matter the illness or the symptoms. Now, here is your host, Suzanne Hill.
Hi, everybody. This is Suzanne Hill coming to you live from New York City. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Healing Power Hour, which is a new show that I've put together in order to teach people about energy and what I call true healing. So when I sat down to create the show, I realized that my primary intention was really twofold. One, I wanted to take the mystery out of health and healing for people. I work with patients every day, and I work with healing them on a daily basis. So I know that it's not a random accident when people recover from serious illness or even mild illness. You just have to know how it works. And I would love to impart that knowledge to you. And secondly, my secondary intention was to introduce new healing modalities to you that you might not be aware about. Medicine is actually, it's not a static practice. It keeps changing and growing. And just like we have hydrogen fuel cells coming out and Wi-Fi, medicine's also changing, and in the next several decades, we're going to learn that a lot of it's going to be energy-based medicine. That's the direction things are moving, and since energy is my area of expertise, I would love to introduce that to you. My greatest wish in you listening to this show is that you become empowered to make choices that will allow you to start treating your body like the temple it really is. And once you become conscious about how healing really works, you're actually going to find that it's exciting and fascinating to take good care of yourself. It's good health really doesn't have to be only about burden, deprivation, and sacrifice, which I know is a fear, an erroneous fear I think that many people hold. So to give you a little bit of background for those of you who don't know me, I've been an acupuncturist for 13 years now. I studied at the Tri-State College of Acupuncture in Manhattan. For those of you who are interested, I did do a two-week stint in Shanghai when I first graduated. I studied at an acupuncture hospital there, but in truth, I learned a lot more about the importance of public health than I learned about acupuncture. And before acupuncture school, I studied energy work for about 15 years. And so what does that all mean? It means that I have treated thousands of patients, and I have a lot that I want to share with you. Now, to kick off the series today, today's episode of the Healing Power Hour is going to cover allergies and how to treat them with a cutting-edge healing protocol called NAIT. That's N as in Nancy, A-E-T. And NAIT stands for Nambudrapad's Allergy Elimination Technique. Dr. Nambudrapad was the doctor who created this protocol, but I'm going to actually have Paul Rathay, who is my colleague and fellow acupuncturist, come on and talk about NAIT. Paul has been in practice for about 25 years. NAIT is an energetic healing protocol, and Paul's going to talk about how he's used it to heal and cure allergies. So I think you might find it interesting. It's not just about minimizing the symptoms of allergies. We're talking full out 100% cure, anything from peanut allergies and pollen allergies to animal allergies. So he's going to be coming on to the show about 20 after the hour, which gives me the opportunity right now to give you a very abridged version of my energetic perspective of healing and hopefully the energetic perspective on allergies. So we'll start from the beginning. For those of you who aren't my patients, I'm going to start from the beginning and give you a framework and a context for my approach and perspective on healing. As an acupuncturist, my primary starting point is to read the energy of your body. So when you come in as a patient, I take your pulse and I read the energy of your body, which means I read the energy of your meridians, which are the energetic pathways, and I read the energy of your aura. Now, as I say to all of my patients, the first thing you want to understand about the human body is that just like you have a circulatory system that conducts the flow of blood and a nervous system that conducts the flow of nerve impulses, so do you also have an energetic system that conducts the flow of energy in the body. And just as the conduction of nerve impulses is not random, neither is the flow of energy random. Energy flow is actually very precise. And I just want to make that clear to you because in the last decade, energy is a term that gets bandied about pretty freely, but actually it is science and science is precise. So keep that in mind. Just because the average person does not know how to see or feel energy doesn't mean that it's a nebulous entity. But having said that, the ability to see and feel energy is something that's changing. I actually teach meditation classes, and I know that I can teach anybody to feel the energy. It just takes the desire and a little bit of effort. Okay, now the second thing you want to understand is that your energetic system is actually like a blueprint upon which your physical body rests. It is a template or a pattern, if you will. And why this is important is that any changes in your energetic system will eventually show up in your physical body. Now, this is a crucial point to remember, and so I actually want to repeat that. You want to know that any changes, for better or for worse, in your energetic system will eventually show up and manifest changes in your physical body. Now, your energetic system is the least dense part of your being, which makes it the most mutable and the most changeable part of you. And your physical body, which is solid, is the most dense part of your being, and that makes it the most difficult to change. So the purpose, the true purpose of acupuncture or any other energetic medicine is really to be able to recognize any negative changes in your energetic body before it manifests as a negative change in your physical body. And by negative changes, what I'm talking about are areas in your body where the energy is either contracted or where it's flowing very slowly, where it's stagnant, it's not flowing at all, and places where it's just not flowing as abundantly as it should be. So those are the negative changes that I'm looking for when I put my hands on somebody. So how does one do that? How does one read the energetic changes in our bodies? Well, this is what I try to teach all my patients. This is why I try to teach patients to learn how to feel the energy, why I teach meditation classes, and why I encourage everyone to learn how to meditate and feel energy. Because in my classes, I'm always incorporating Qigong or Tai Chi exercises so that people can start to feel the energy. And lo and behold, believe it or not, people are able to do it. I want my patients to be able to become sensitive to energy because even though it takes time, it's doable. And once you have the sensitivity to the energy, you can then start to monitor your own body without an interpreter such as myself. But yes, that takes time. And so since that does take a while, in the meantime, what you want to do is you want to get yourself to some sort of energy practitioner who can read the energy for you. Well, who can do that? More people than you might think, actually. For myself, as an empath, I have the ability to put my hands on somebody's body and read their pulse, not necessarily in a traditional acupuncture way, but I do try to keep that perspective in mind. But when I put my hands on somebody, I'm really feeling where the energy is stuck or contracted, where it's flowing freely. And where it's stuck and contracted, I'm also looking to feel why that's happening, because there's always going to be a reason why it's not flowing, why it's contracted. Now, sometimes the reason that energy is contracted and not flowing well is because of something physical, like someone is going for too long without eating. But sometimes the energy is contracted and not flowing because of an emotional reason. For example, the person has just experienced a loss that creates grief in the body, and that grief, that emotional grief creates contraction of the lungs, for example, and they might get a cold or bronchitis, or their allergies might get aggravated. And then thirdly, sometimes the energy contracts and doesn't flow well because of a spiritual cause. And what I mean by a spiritual cause is something that's very deep and primary to a person, something they came in to heal. So, for example, if a person has chosen a line of work that might be socially acceptable, like they became a lawyer because they thought it was socially acceptable, it would make their family happy, they could make good money and support themselves, but it's really not their heart's desire, that kind of thing will absolutely contract someone's energy, and they'll start to spiritually stagnate as a result. So when I work with patients, I'm always looking at these three levels, the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual, because these are the primary levels that direct energetic flow in the body. Now, in Chinese medicine, we have a saying that treating the body after one has become ill is like digging a well after one has already become thirsty. So when I was in acupuncture school, I understood this theoretically, but I didn't actually understand how one was supposed to put this into practice. But once I started my clinical practice and I combined the energy work that I had learned before I was an acupuncturist along with the acupuncture theory, it all started to make sense. So those are the two things I want you to get. One, you have an energetic system. That energetic system is the template for your body. The energy either flows well or it doesn't flow well. And if it doesn't flow well, in due course, it will take time, whether that's several days, several weeks, or several years, we don't know, but it will, in some time, you will see the result of that energy contraction manifest in the physical body. And that's where illness arises from. So, so I could probably talk about this forever and help you earn your PhD in energy medicine, but I do want to tie what I've just talked about in with today's episode of allergies. So what exactly is happening energetically when we have allergies? Well, if you go back to the framework of energy and you start to see the world through that filter, you're going to see that everything vibrates at a particular frequency. I vibrate at a particular frequency. The chair I'm sitting on, the phone I'm talking with, creates a particular frequency. The food I eat vibrates at a particular frequency. And the people I associate with, whether it's groups of people or a single people, they all vibrate at a particular frequency. Now, when we have an allergy to something, what's happening on an energetic level is that we have an inability to assimilate those frequencies into our energetic field. So, for example, if I have a peanut allergy, what that means is that the frequency at which the peanut is vibrating is at odds with the frequency of my own body. And my body will see the peanut as an offender, start to take up arms against it, create a histamine reaction that can range anywhere from itching or tearing all the way to a swollen tongue and anaphylaxis, anaphylaxis is an extreme allergic reaction to an antigen being something that creates an allergic response. But there's an incompatibility with the two frequencies, and that creates the allergic response. But if I'm able to somehow harmonize the frequency of the peanut with the frequency of my own body, then the allergy goes away. And this is how NATE works, which is what Paul is going to be talking about. But before we get to Paul, I wanted to talk a little bit about seasonal allergies in particular, because I want to be able to relate all the theoretical mumbo-jumbo to something practical and tangible for you. And so many people do have seasonal allergies, so I thought it would be useful. Now, when people get seasonal allergies, they're typically getting one or more of the following symptoms. You get a stuffed up nose, you get swollen eyes, teary eyes. Some people get chest wheezing, some people have excess phlegm, itchiness, and scratchiness, particularly in the eyes, nose, and throat. And from a Chinese medical perspective, the primary energetic pathway that deals with allergies is the lung meridian, because it's all upper respiratory stuff. And in acupuncture theory, the lung meridian is intimately tied to the large intestine meridian. You could actually call the large intestine meridian the secondary lung. And together, these comprise what we call the element of metal. And the Chinese were into all this, but there's a reason for creating this whole structure. The Chinese realized that together, the large intestine and the lung meridian worked in tandem. And we're finding that out now. that when the energy of the large intestine's off, it'll affect the lung. And that's why in Western medicine, they're finding out now that if you have any imbalance in your colon, it will absolutely start to create lung issues. And so for a lot of people, once they start to change their diet and eat different foods, move away from phlegmy things, then their allergies start to clear up. The emotion associated with the lung and the large intestine is grief. And the Chinese were really quite brilliant. It's quite accurate because when people become sad, one of the primary ways the body manifests is through upper respiratory conditions, including allergies. Physically, the lungs are responsible for taking in oxygen. And energetically, it's the lungs are about taking in that which is new. Physically, the large intestine, which is also known as the great eliminator, eliminates the waste that the body no longer needs. But energetically, it's also about letting go of things in our life that we no longer need. So we go back to the concept that the physical body rests on the energetic template, the concept that the energy moves first and then the physicality follows. What happens in the case of allergies is that there's a blockage of energy in the large lung and large intestine, most often due to grief, and this will, in turn, it will create manifest as allergies in the body. So, for example, if you have a breakup of a relationship, you break up with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, and that makes you incredibly sad, for a while you might not be able to take in a new relationship or any new ideas, and that impedes the energetic flow. And you might not be able to let go of that old relationship. Okay, so that can aggravate the allergies. Now, for people who are saying, yes, but what about my two-month-old who has allergies? You know, what can she or he be sad about? My answer to that is typically that it's either a physical imbalance that's passed along from the mother, if they didn't eat right or there was an illness there that got passed along, or it could be past life grief that the child carries forth into the world. Whether you believe in past lives or not, it's a thing that once you start working with patients, you can't help but start to know that there's validity to it. Anyway, so we're going to have to wrap up soon, but I want to leave you with something practical to use. So when we look at supplements and herbs that help allergies, one of the primary herbs that's exceptionally helpful and economical to use in the treatment of allergies is turmeric, the Indian spice. Now, turmeric is a powerful antibacterial that helps clean out the large intestine. For anyone who doesn't know this, turmeric is absolutely a must-have in your spice rack at home. If you ever have vomiting or diarrhea, just put 1 teaspoon of turmeric in a glass of water, and it's pretty effective in almost immediately making you feel better. But because it has the ability to clean out the colon, and the colon, the large intestine, is related to the lungs, it absolutely will help you with your allergies. The second thing you can take for allergies is apple cider vinegar. Now, when you use the apple cider vinegar, this is also, it helps clear mucus out of the body. It helps clear and cleanse the large intestine, so it will help cleanse and clear your allergies. A lot of people don't like the flavor of it, so you can put a tablespoon in water and add some honey if you'd like, or you could just chug it straight. If you do add it to water, you have to put a straw in it so you don't. Long-term use of apple cider vinegar can take the enamel off your teeth. But the one thing that's important to know about the apple cider vinegar is you don't want to get Heinz, because they process it in a way that it kills the effective ingredients. So the brand that you want to get for apple cider vinegar is the Bragg brand. And then the third thing that you want to get if you have any kind of allergies is chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is the main ingredient in wheatgrass. I suggest wheatgrass to people, but a lot of people find that it's pretty hard to stomach. If they take the live wheatgrass, it's a major detoxifier of the body. It cleans out the lungs, it cleans out the colon, it cleans out the liver. And there's, you can get live wheatgrass at the juice bar, or you can get powdered wheatgrass, but that's a little tough to get down. So there are some brands like World Organics that makes chlorophyll that comes in a bottle. It comes in a glass bottle usually. It's green. It's made from alfalfa. And it's an ionic concentration, which means it's really bioavailable to you, to your body, and it works pretty quickly. The only caveat with the chlorophyll is that it is dark green and it does stain things. So if you use it with caution or use it over a sink and just put it in water and drink it down. Okay, so that's my spiel on this. We're going to have to go to break soon. This has been Suzanne Hill. I'm talking to you live about acupuncture, energy, and allergies. After break, we're going to go to Paul Raffe, acupuncturist, who's going to talk about NAIT, which is an allergy elimination technique. Thanks.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have you figured out what's not working in your life? Could you use a little help? Join your host, Tamaran, for Let's Figure It Out. Tamaran has had both highs and lows in her life. She uses her experiences to teach you some basic techniques on how to live a better life through health, relationships, and more. Her guests also come from the health and wellness industry, and together, Tamaran and her guests will help you get your life on the right path. Let's Figure It Out airs live every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you're listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live talk radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to the Healing Power Hour with Suzanne Hill. To connect with the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer, you may send an email to turtlebayacupuncture@gmail.com. Now, back to the Healing Power Hour.
Hey, everybody. This is Suzanne Hill, and I am broadcasting live. I've asked Paul Raffe, fellow acupuncturist, to join me on the show today to talk about NAIT, which is an allergy elimination protocol. Just to give you a little background on Paul, Paul's been an acupuncturist for over 25 years. He has a broad breadth of experience. He's also a master herbalist, and he's been doing NAIT for quite a while, and so I invited him on the show to talk to you all about it. Again, as the announcer said, if you have any questions while we're doing the show, please email me, and I'll be sure to incorporate the questions, put the questions to Paul as we talk. So, Paul, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me, Suzanne.
So the first thing I wanted to start you out with, because a lot of people don't know about this healing protocol, is I'd love for you to share one or two stories that really stand out for you, case studies that you felt were quite successful.
Sure. First, I might say for the listening audience that are not aware of it, that NAIT or N-A-E-T actually stands for the doctor who developed it, Dr. Nembundrapad. And so NAIT stands for Nembundrapad Allergy Elimination Techniques. So the first case I'll discuss is actually my own case, which was as follows. In 1987, I was diagnosed with vernal conjunctivitis, which, as your listeners may or may not know, involves usually the eyelid becomes very inflamed, and there's intense itching. The patient cannot wear contact lenses, which I was wearing at the time, without a lot of discomfort. I went to my ophthalmologist, and he recommended a steroidal eye drop, which I used. it helped, but by the end of the summer of that same year, the allergy had progressed down into my respiratory system, into my lungs, and I started to wheeze and breathe with difficulty. Mm-hmm. I was a student about halfway through acupuncture school at the time, and I had recently transferred out to a school in Santa Fe. And when I got there, I visited a local herbal pharmacy, and they prescribed a Chinese herb known as Ophiopogon. When I used that, it resolved the breathing difficulty and the wheezing.
Mm-hmm.
And they also recommended another herb, chrysanthemum flower, to drink and to apply as a drop into the eyes. So when I did those two things, I no longer needed the steroidal eye drops, which I really didn't want to take anyway. And I started to control it, but every spring afterwards, I would have to do the same in order to bring it under control. Fast forward to 2003, when I did the training with Dr. Nimbinder Pad, and I was able to determine that this allergy was actually an allergy to pine pollen.
Interesting.
Which is really strong in the springtime when the pine flowers produce a lot, tremendous amount of pollen. And through the practice of NAT, it was also determined the date and the my age and the specific event that caused me to acquire this allergen. The most remarkable thing was for the most part, environmental allergens, of which pollens are a part, usually require two treatments. I was able to switch off this allergy of mine permanently in one treatment.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. And so now do you have seasonal allergies from this now, or are you clear?
I'm clear. I tell my patients that if I were to put my head in a pillowcase full of pine allergy, I couldn't provoke vernal conjunctivitis or any respiratory distress whatsoever. I'm that confident that we've really switched it off
mm-hmm.
permanently.
Well, can you give the listeners an overview of how the NAT protocol works?
Yes, and if you want me to go back to the second
do the second case study first.
Okay, I'll make it brief. I had a patient, 56-year-old woman, who presented severe allergic asthma and respiratory distress. She was on no fewer than 6 medications. By age 12, she had no fewer than 10 or 12 bouts of pneumonia, 3 which required hospitalization.
Mm-hmm.
She was diagnosed with asthma and chronic bronchitis in her adolescent years, and she came to my office with much difficulty breathing. After my first examination of her and treatment, I accompanied her down the stairs to the street because she was still having trouble breathing. And a passing car on the opposite side of the street with a window down, apparently one of the passengers was wearing a perfume. She immediately went into respiratory distress and had to use albuterol or an inhaled epinephrine. I'm not sure which she had, but I had to put her hands up on a building, and I helped her to breathe. I really doubted I could help a patient with serious respiratory distress such as this woman, but what ended up happening was over the course of about a year, we systematically eliminated her allergens one by one. Finally, after a year, after her annual visit to her pulmonologist, he could not believe how much her lung capacity had increased, how she had stabilized, how her dependence upon medications had gone to virtually none. And I myself was actually quite surprised.
And that was a year of treating her how often?
Typically about once a week.
Okay.
And that would be an extreme example. Most NAT patients only come for about 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe now you can give people a little overview of how the NAT protocol works, what actually happens when a person comes in to get a treatment, and how you walk them through what they need to do to clear an allergy.
Sure. I think it's important that people learn about this technique because I consider it one of the greatest medical breakthroughs possibly in the last century. Dr. Nimbinder Pad developed it beginning in the 1980s, and she's refined it over the last 25 years or so.
And she cleared her own. She had multiple chemical sensitivities of her own, which she cleared, and that's how she developed this.
Absolutely. I won't go into the story now, but you can find it either on her website, NAT.com, or in any of her several books, including Say Goodbye to Illness. She'll talk about that. But basically, she was the perfect candidate to discover how to switch off allergies because she was such a an allergy sufferer. She, I think, could only eat two or three foods or wear two or three different types of fabric. She was very, very allergic to most everything. So what happens typically is that the patient arrives, we do a medical history, and then we begin the testing, which is done by applied kinesiology, which is also known as muscle testing. To a lot of people, it might seem pseudoscientific or kind of unreliable, but in my experience, it's actually more reliable than the conventional testing methods that are out there. In my experience,
you want to just—I agree with you. In fact, I had a patient who spent $3,000 on allergy testing, and it absolutely matched what I did with the kinesiology, where the allergens were exactly the same. But can you describe to people how the applied kinesiology works?
Yes.
What they experience when they do it?
Yes, and my experience was similar in that I've never found an NAT, AK, or a kinesiological test contradict a Western medical test if it's positive. I find there's a lot of false negatives, so they can miss something.
Mm-hmm.
But if they turn up a positive, then usually my result concurs. So what it is I use the arm of the patient, one arm as the indicator muscle, and I use the opposite hand to test various allergens in the form of a vial, a glass vial which has a homeopathic analog or a highly diluted version of the allergen that I'm trying to test. The idea is this, that you only have so many immune components and so much energy, and that if while holding a substance that one is allergic to, using subtle muscle strength measuring, you can observe a subtle difference in the muscle resistance if the patient's holding something that they're allergic to. So the muscle fatigues if they're holding something they're allergic to. If I put something in their hand that they're not allergic to, the muscle won't fatigue.
And so they hold their hand out, and then you push down on it, and then you're testing the resistance.
That's one way to test. I test the patient holds in one hand, and then the opposite arm I have up at 90 degrees, and I use that to measure resistance with. But you can do it any number of ways. O-ring testing, you can even test with legs if people have shoulder problems and were not able to use the arms.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then you determine what things that they have an allergy to, and then how do you proceed?
Okay, then Dr. Nambindrapad has actually designed a sequence of treatment. Usually we turn off the food allergies first, then we address environmental allergens. There is a group of allergens that are considered crucial, the top five, which include proteins, certain nutrients, and sugar. After we take the patient through the first five groups to determine if they need any of those, then we can treat according to priority. So in other words, a person comes to me and they want to treat a pollen or a animal dander allergen, then I won't use 15 treatments to take them through their foods. I'll get them through their foods as soon as possible and get them into their concern, which is an environmental allergen, as soon as possible. But usually you have to turn off the food allergies first.
Okay. Now, is it possible, have you treated something as severe as a peanut allergy? Someone goes into anaphylaxis because of a peanut allergy. Have you actually been able to clear that?
Yes, and it requires a special treatment. It's not quite as easily as turning off a normal allergy. So we tend to just focus on that one particular allergen. In your example, the peanut allergy, which, by the way, is really a mold allergen that grows between the outer coating of the peanut and the peanut itself, which of course is not a tree nut but a legume. So it's in the soil
in the
where
soil.
The molds tend to thrive. And we may have to spend an entire month or more, twice a week, desensitizing the patient. But the net result is an anaphylactic patient, while they may not be able to eat a peanut butter sandwich every day, at least they won't go into respiratory distress or shock or have to go to the emergency room or maybe not even have to rely on an EpiPen anymore. So the point is to desensitize them to a point where maybe the worst thing they'll experience is maybe a mild nausea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, for example, if I came in with a pollen allergy, how many sessions can you say to a patient how many sessions they're going to need, or is it on a case-by-case basis, or can you roughly say it's going to take about 15 or 20 sessions?
Well, most people need about 10 to 15 sessions. It's really case-by-case. There's so many things to take into consideration: the immune system of the patient, how many allergies they have, and most importantly, how well they respond to NAAT, because nothing is 100%, and not all people are candidates for NAAT. But in my experience, the vast majority are and do respond well.
Mm-hmm. What would make someone not a good candidate for NAAT?
I'm not really sure, but I think in the last 10 years, I've only had two patients that I couldn't get good results with. Mm-hmm. So clearly, by and large, you know, 98, 99% of the patients I see do respond well. But there are people, of course, that won't, because I don't think there's any modality that works 100% with all people.
So I'm a patient. I want to have my pollen allergy cleared. I come to you. What's the first thing that we do?
First thing we do is a medical history. Then we do the muscle testing. We'll confirm that you are, in fact, allergic to pollen, or that there is an allergic component to your symptoms, whatever they may be. And then we set about, once we've determined that, and that NAAT is applicable, then we set about on the first visit to start switching off your allergies. Again, we start with the foods. The reason for that is so you can begin to build a strong immune system, and then we go after the environmental allergens, of which pollen would be one.
Okay. And can you describe to people what actually happens in a treatment? Because it's not an acupuncture treatment. It's different.
Correct. There is an acupuncture component, but even that's optional. And with the younger patients that are too young to stay still, I forego the acupuncture, and we're able to treat just by acupressure or massaging the points.
Okay.
So typically...
Okay, so we're going to have to go to break soon. So... just wrap up that point. We're going to come back after break. This is Suzanne Hill of Turtle Bay Acupuncture. I'm talking with Paul Rathe about NAAT protocol, which is an allergy elimination technique, and we'll be back shortly.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Being Here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss Being Here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Get the latest information in health and wellness when you tune into On the Radio with Dr. Ray. Each week, you'll find out the latest and greatest from both traditional and holistic perspectives. Your host, Dr. Robert Ray, better known as Dr. 90210, is the best known and most sought after plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills. Dr. Ray, with his co-host, Natalie Day, will help you get the dream body you've always wanted through diet and exercise, not surgery and medicine. On the Radio with Dr. Ray airs live Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Variety.
Leadership is a destination, but how do you get there? More importantly, how do you maximize your power and influence and develop more leaders in your organization? Learn from proven leaders and proven practices. Join Drs. Kathy Greenberg and Relly Nadler for Leadership Development News. This program will help you develop the next leaders in your organization, balance your work life, manage your boss, and manage yourself. We'll feature cutting-edge interviews with industry experts and authors. Leadership Development News, every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Healing Power Hour with Suzanne Hill. To connect with the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer, you may send an email to turtlebayacupuncture@gmail.com. Now, back to the Healing Power Hour.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back. This is Suzanne Hill. I'm sitting here with Paul Raffé on the line, who is an acupuncturist, and we're talking about NAET, which is an allergy elimination protocol. Now, Paul, I interrupted you right before break. I just wanted you to go through, for listeners, just to give them a concept of what a treatment's like, what actually happens when they get on the table, because it's different than an acupuncture treatment, or it can be. When I use it, I just put a vial in someone's hand and I give them acupuncture because I don't specifically separately do allergy elimination. But for you, if you're going to treat somebody without the use of needles, what happens in a treatment?
If I were to treat them without needles, I would do everything the same in terms of the muscle testing, determine that there's an allergic component to their symptoms and that there is a need for allergy elimination. So then we do the testing. We do what's called an organ inventory, which addresses any energy leaks that may be found in the body's organ systems. Then we do the actual treatment itself, which is done with gentle spinal manipulation on the back alongside of the spine and down the bladder meridian. And then the patient turns over. We recheck that the treatment has worked, and then there's a 20-minute retention period during which I either use acupuncture on what are called gate points to reinforce the treatment so it'll hold, or at that point I can also do massage. At the end of that period, we do a final check to make sure that the allergen is clear. They go home usually with an avoidance sheet on what to avoid, depending upon what was
cleared. They have to avoid whatever you're clearing for 24 hours?
Exactly. And compared to conventional allergy treatment, where you basically have to avoid the thing for life, or at least until you've gone through a year or two of desensitization treatments,
right.
It's a mere 25-hour avoidance. So it's much easier, much more practical for people to do.
Now, does it ever happen that you have to clear an allergy more than once? Like, can you do a treatment and it doesn't hold? Like, the patient comes back the next week, and let's say you've cleared vitamin C. Let's say they have a resistance to vitamin C, and you clear it. Has it ever happened where they come back the following week and it's still not clear?
Yes, but that's the exception, not the rule. And usually it's something to do with me, my lack of following proper protocol. I've, in the last 10 years, developed some self-checks to make sure that doesn't happen. For example, if I don't ask the question to make sure that the allergy is cleared at all organ levels and all meridians, all 12 meaning, then it's possible that the allergen over time will come back and affect the whole body. So I've pretty much eliminated that problem, but there are people that have difficult clearing and we have to do sort of a booster treatment.
Now, do you need to do anything in conjunction with the NAET for it to work, or is there anything that will enhance the NAET to work?
Yes, although there's nothing that a patient has to do in order for the NAET to work, Dr. Nambinger-Pad herself recommends that patients engage in chiropractic adjustments, acupuncture, acupressure, sauna, fasting, dietary supplementation, etc. All these things can help the body clear an allergen. And I might just want to mention now that the whole idea, the whole theory behind NAET is based upon Dr. Nambinger-Pad's conviction that the only reason we're able to eliminate allergies is because she believes everybody's hardwired not to be allergic to anything anyway, and that if people that are allergic, there's some glitch in the program, either one, like you mentioned earlier in the show, there's an error in the transmission of the DNA information from generation to generation, or that the allergy was actually acquired through trauma, physical or emotional.
Mm-hmm. Can you give an example of an allergy being acquired through emotional or physical trauma?
Sure. Again, in my own case, Because I was fainting in school at age 7, I was taken out of school and went through a battery of testing, including the glucose tolerance test. Unfortunately, the person, the phlebotomist, was not very skilled, and so it ended up being a very traumatic experience for me because she kept jabbing and jabbing and jabbing my arm trying to find a vein but couldn't. So, and as you know, that glucose test, at least then, runs about 5 or 6 hours. So the way that my body translated that trauma was that it became allergic to sugar because, of course, after about every hour, you're drinking a very concentrated solution of sugar, mm-hmm. glucose. And so my body had blamed that being responsible for my physical and emotional trauma. So at that point, age 7, I became allergic, or you could say emotionally allergic to sugar. And it wasn't until, 10 years ago that I got around to identifying that and switching it off. And I must say it makes a big, big difference.
Mm-hmm. What do you notice?
Well, I used to always be tired if I ever ate sugar. First of all, I had an unconscious aversion to sugar. I never liked sweets. I never understood why. And the other part was that I experienced extreme fatigue. I thought that was due to low blood sugar. But actually, after the sugar treatment, switching off the sugar allergy, I had neither fatigue nor did I have an aversion to sweets, and I don't overindulge in them either. It's a very balanced relationship that one will achieve after you switch off the allergy.
Wow, that's interesting. One last question. Have you ever treated someone for a pet allergy?
Yes. Both patients who currently had a pet at home and they were struggling with that, or a patient that wanted to have a pet but realized that they couldn't given their allergic status. So in either case, it's effective. And it takes a little bit of doing. Like they have to, if they already have the pet, they're going to have to sequester the pet, board the pet, or stay at a friend's or somewhere else for the 25-hour avoidance period, of course. But other than that, it's definitely doable.
Mm-hmm. Good. Now, do you treat children or babies using this protocol? Because a lot more kids are being born with multiple allergies these days, particularly food allergies. How do you treat children or babies?
Yes, Dr. Nambindrapad designed an excellent method for treating infants and young children. So we do it through a surrogate who is usually the mother. The mother most often brings the child. And if I'm able to get the mother's polarity balance and I can do AK, the kinesiological testing through her, then she places the baby on her abdomen. And I'm able to treat and diagnose the baby through the mother surrogate.
So you're using the mother's energy to read the child's energy?
I'm using the mother's arm, really, to check and treat the child's energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And is that equally as effective as treating the child directly?
Exactly, yeah. It's very effective.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very handy because how else would you really treat? And I will say to the pregnant women out in the audience that it's a great time to have NAT because you get a 2-for-1 in effect. In other words, whatever allergies I treat a pregnant woman with, and of course this is safe because it's non-invasive, no medications, et cetera, no drugs, her unborn child will also be cleared for those self-same allergens.
Oh, interesting. So if the mother has a pollen allergy or a sugar allergy and you work on clearing that, then when the child's born, the child should technically be clear of that allergy as well.
Exactly.
So then they'll have a healthier immune system.
I would think so.
I would think so. Okay, now one thing I wanted you to distinguish for people, though, is that sometimes when you clear an allergy to something, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's good for someone to have that thing. For example, you might clear someone of a sugar allergy, but that doesn't mean that it's then okay to have sugar all the time. But you mentioned that in your own case that there's a natural balancing that happens. So do you find that craving for a particular unhealthy thing is automatically balanced through the treatment?
It can happen both ways. Not everyone has that experience. I had a patient who wanted me to treat and eliminate their allergy to alcohol, so thinking they wouldn't get a hangover if they overdrank. And it just doesn't work that way. So that's a good example. If one is allergic to alcohol, it can increase alcohol craving. In fact, I think that might be, in some cases, the basis for alcoholism. That line of thinking needs to be followed up. But just by eliminating one's allergy to alcohol doesn't mean if you drink, you know, a fifth of distilled spirits, you're not going to get alcohol poisoning or a terrible hangover. So that distinction is very important.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to talk about is, have you ever cleared an allergy with a person? I know Dr. Nambujirpad sometimes talks about clearing an allergy with a person.
Yes, I did some of that in the beginning of my NAT work, but as a rule, I don't do that particular treatment so much in my practice now for various reasons.
And why is that?
I think it requires additional skill level that maybe I don't feel comfortable with. Also, I think it might, when I'm involving other people that are not there, let's say they're allergic to a spouse or a sibling or a parent, I think it requires their consent, and I don't always get that, especially if they're not on speaking terms. So it gets a little sticky, along with karmic implications, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I choose to just kind of pull back from that.
Okay. Is there any last thing that you want to share with us about NAET?
Well, I think this woman, after, I should say that I'm not easily swayed by various things that come across my desk, and I have to admit that I was, it took me 6 years to warm up to her her techniques. I almost walked out of her lecture at NYU Medical Center, and the only reason I think I was convinced that I needed to explore her work was after having sent a patient of mine as sort of a test patient to see if NAT could in fact help this patient, which I was unable to help with acupuncture and herbs. So only after 6 years of resisting this woman, not believing that she could do what no one else seemingly could do, was I convinced. But now that we have this technique, I'd like as many people to know about it as possible, at least look into it as a possibility.
Do you know of any Western medical practitioners that are open to this technique or training?
Yes, there was one in my training session in 2003. There was a doctor who had gone down there to expose her as a fraud and a charlatan because he wasn't happy his wife was going down there spending their money. And she ended up convincing him that there was benefit to her treatments, and he subsequently enrolled in her training session. So, yeah, there are doctors out there. There are maybe not many, but there are doctors and nurses that do enroll in her training programs.
The question for that I always have, and this goes for my patients, but your patients as well, is that why, when you have a patient that's significantly ill, has multiple allergies or chemical sensitivities, you help them, you clear them, why their general practitioner is not then open and fascinated to learn about what's helped a seemingly unhelpable patient? And do you think that it's possible, is Dr. Nambujirpad, to your awareness at all, trying to incorporate her training into any of the medical colleges?
I believe she's done that at a chiropractic college in the South. I know she's trying to get on the scientific map. She's done no fewer than five NIH-funded studies. So she is working hard to try to get NAT on the scientific map, so ultimately will be more mainstream and will be covered by insurance companies. But unfortunately, she's far from that. And as far as doctors not being enthusiastic about it, it's just it's not their medical paradigm.
Yeah, that's true. Well, hopefully that's something that's going to change.
Let's hope so.
Listen, Paul, thank you for being a guest today. I appreciate it. If you want to get a hold of Paul, you can reach him at altmedacupuncture.com or just Google him, Paul Raffe. And thank you so much for tuning in to the Healing Power Hour. My name's Suzanne Hill. You can reach me at Turtle Bay Acupuncture. I hope you make use of what you've learned today, because knowledge is power, but more particularly the use of knowledge is power. And much love to you all. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. Please join Suzanne Hill for another edition of the Healing Power Hour next Wednesday at 11 a.m. in the West, 2 p.m. in the East, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a healthy week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.